Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance with you here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance is back.
Yeah, I'm done with my relaxing vacation.
It must have been so... You look rested.
Yeah.
You know.
Got in last night at 11:18. Got into bed at about 12:30. Got
so
sleep probably
rested.
About 1. Oh, super rested.
Yeah. Your flight late, or did you just plan it that way?
Yeah, I had a late flight. Had a flight at 7:24, so we thought I'd do that because I wanted to give us the most time for our... I did a booking thing that Charlie Palola would not have... it's kind of a booking. So here's what I did. I did not book it weekends. You know, most smart people will book a vacation starting, like for us, right? You're going to take a week. Well, you do it on Friday after the show. So then you travel on Friday. You got Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Then you got the next weekend. I did it Tuesday to Tuesday, so I only had 1 weekend in there.
And you used 6 days.
So I ate up days. I didn't get as much actual vacation, and my first travel day took 14.
Why did you do it that way?
My first travel day took 14 and a half hours, because after I landed early, we flew early to Denver and then drove all the way to Park City, Utah, which is like 8.5, 9 hours.
What?
Yeah, because I didn't want to drive 2 days. I usually have to drive 2 days when we're going to Colorado.
Wait, why didn't you fly into Utah?
It's a lot more expensive.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot more expensive. It's hard trying to find flights for 6 people.
That's the worst.
Where it doesn't just murder you.
Yeah.
So I used some miles.
You get first class?
No.
And your wife didn't?
No, it did. I'm so far behind. Like, you check in, it automatically puts you on it. And I'm like 26 to check in. I'm like, you are dragging me down, Nicole. I'm so much higher on the list when it's just me and it's not me. Because they automatically do me and her since she's, you know, the other adult with me. But, no, I did joke about, you know, I for sure will be going up first class if it's in. I'm not going to be anywhere near my kids. I'm 100% going. So get your Xanax ready because I'm flying up there.
Okay.
But it did not come in.
Damn it. Because that would have been a great story.
I got some stories for you. But, yeah, I only had to do 2 hikes. One of them we hiked almost.
I know. I saw. What are you doing?
Almost a mile, 1,500 elevation.
Why
that
are
was
you
so,
hiking?
I was the 15 to go up, hiking 15 feet. You're hiking a mile up. I made it. Like
that's why
13.
I love my wife. She never, ever, ever said, hiking. Let's go hiking.
Like, I made it to 1,320 feet. My wife goes, her and two of the other kids, it's just so steep. Don't come. You're going to fall. So now there's expectations of me falling every trip. Instead, Alec has a visit with an orthopedic, my 18-year-old. He's got an orthopedic visit because of a shoulder injury. He sustained falling off of a bike on Vail Pass where you're going downhill. It's one of the coolest things you can do. We do it every year where they take you up on this, you know, kind of high up and you just have a gradual decline on your bike and all you're doing is handbrakes. You don't even have to pump,
yeah,
really.
Well,
and it goes like 13 miles.
Well, don't hit the front brake.
It goes like 13 miles. Well, as Alex turning, he said he hit a rock and it knocked him off the path and he went flying, scraped both of his hands up, hurt his shoulder real bad. Like, he can only do half of it. They had to come pick him up at like a midway point because he got hurt. So we got to go see if anything's broken today.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So
at least
excited
you got that.
About that. Yeah. Excited
that.
About that.
Yep.
Him having to fly back yesterday in pain. So, you know, it's good. And then Snacks fell down on that same trip. He ran into a tree. So, first time ever, my kids, and I'm like, you guys got the genes. This is terrible. My mom is a faller. It's just, yeah.
My daughter's a faller too. But I just don't understand your why who goes to drives 9 hours after flying to parts of Utah and then goes hiking. And
yeah.
But what is wrong
hiking
with you?
Hiking was the next day.
Well,
we went zip lining.
Have you ever heard of something that's called a beach?
No, that's not what we did. Well, we went zip lining. We went rafting. We went the daughter, like three of them went horseback riding. We played disc golf. We did some fun stuff. But the hiking part's not. I can tell you this. I know I'm not in shape, but also when you're already in altitude, which is Park City, and especially in Summit County, Colorado, and then you hike vertically, directly up. I was like, I said on Twitter, it's like, I remember watching basketball teams going, the Rockets go play the Nuggets with Doug Moe's team. Mm-hmm. And teams are, you had to wear oxygen masks when you got that game. Dream is really, Bill Worrell, Akeem Olajuwon, the Dream is really struggling to find wind today. And I'm like, those are professional athletes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to climb up vertically.
If you had a couple of weeks to get ready, you could be a professional athlete.
That's true. Probably 2 weeks. I would need 2 weeks.
Then
I'd be right up the hill.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd be right up the hill.
Yep. Yep.
But So anytime I come back from vacations, I am really rested.
No, my gosh! And now you got to go to sit in a doctor's office or emergency room for a.
Yeah,
I got to listen. When we went rafting,
you do not get right.
When we went rafting in Colorado, it was a couple of years ago. It was remember I came back in my shoulder. I messed up my shoulder.
Oh yeah.
We went rafting. They gave you like instructions all the way. It was like an hour and a half of instructions on rafting, and I was like, oh. And then we went in the water, and it was like, what? What did I do?
And then you hit the rapids.
Wait, you get bikes? They don't tell you a thing. You go up to the top of the mountain and you take this bike down. Well, I'm taking a video of Wendy and Frankie in front of me, and I grab the front brake, and woo!
The
next thing I know, I'm hitting the ground. I broke my shoulder. I was like, no, not even an explanation. Don't
wait.
Touch
they gotta
that
give
brake.
You an explanation not to.
I didn't know
jam
which one.
They
got two brakes. I didn't know which
they
one.
They don't
was
think they have to tell you about handbrakes, but you didn't know what a pump was.
I didn't know. No, what?
So you don't know bikes?
No. See, they don't say. They don't say.
You
give me a pump.
Motorcycles.
They don't say give me a pump in Colorado. Okay. They don't. They just don't say that. So anyway, I'm like, you. It's the worst. Don't grab the front brake when you're going down a mountain, ever, ever, ever. Don't do that. That's just me telling you that, all right?
Yeah, you should not do that. And then, so did you even get a raft?
Yeah, we went rafting.
Oh, I thought you fell off.
No. We went rafting first. I mean, but there's no
way. Did you end up?
The rafting was easy, and they give you an hour and a half explanation. You go biking, they don't tell you nothing.
Yeah, but rafting, so you did the whitewater. You had some.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that prepares you in Colorado for when you're rafting. And that water hits your guillons for the first time. Keep paddling. I can't breathe.
That's cold.
That's cold.
That's real cold.
That's a different kind of cold.
Right.
The water's so low now.
Oh, really?
Across Colorado. Everything's so low, it's low by about 2 feet. So it's like, man, it's kind of sad. Like, it just, everything, all those water just
you didn't get the
completely
experience.
Dead. Well, yeah, we went on a really mild raft.
Did you get to see? I'm sure you got to see.
I kept up with sports stuff. I didn't get to see
the Astros. I'm sure you saw them every night.
I didn't get to see any of them in the places where I was because TV was not a thing. We had some. Like Rokus and stuff like that. But I did keep up with it, and I missed out on the Astros being the Yankees' daddy. But I relived it through Twitter. The Yankees, I mean, the Astros being the Mariners' daddy.
Yep.
And then, it was fun just the last couple of days watching the A's be our daddy. That was a little
it
different.
It is so not amazing.
I just don't understand. This is, like, so on brand for this team to step up and slap teams that think they're going to make a statement against the Astros and then completely let up against the A's. We're losing the series against the A's this year.
It's
right. I went to the A's game here in Houston where the A's beat the Astros here at Minute Maid Park.
Thank God that we don't have to worry about a tiebreaker with the A's because they're kicking. I mean, it is ridiculous. Now, you're still only two back of the Yankees, so that's the good news. Despite the fact that the Yankees lost last night, so that's the good news. The Astros with two straight losses again, they gotta. Are you, Javier, are you really going to lose today to the A's? Are you really going to lose?
They can't.
Please tell me no. All right. If you had your druthers, pick one. Contreras, Bell, or Castillo?
Those are three of the big ones. So apparently Contreras was given his hugs at the game yesterday, which was a sign that he was being traded for sure.
He knows he's done.
And the Astros are one of the teams that are most notable in this entire thing. The sellers are expected to be the Diamondbacks, the Cubs, the Reds, the Rockies, the Tigers, the Royals, the Angels, the Marlins, the A's, Pirates, Nationals. Those are the sellers. If I had my druthers, I would probably say, honestly, I would say probably Contreras.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it with Machete, but Contreras.
But
is
it ain't
your
just
catcher.
Machete.
It's after this year, too.
It ain't just Machete.
Well, your Corey Lee is.
No.
What are you talking about?
He plays first. He plays left field. He plays keys, catches. He does it all.
Oh, so you are expecting potentially Contreras can step into the first base?
Days
off?
A couple days a week he can play there. He can DH. He can play left field. He can catch.
Do you see him doing that for the Astros, though?
Well, why not? He does it for the Cubs.
Right. Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it's a way you keep him in the lineup every day.
Every day. You want that bat in the lineup. I mean, it actually solves a lot of problems if you want to know the truth, and Michael Brantley is one of them. Although James Click last week said Michael Brantley will be here sooner rather than later, and yet there's no, I mean, we see nothing for Michael Brantley of late. I'd love to see him back. I'd love to see Benintendi. I'd love to see if you can come to especially if you could come to a long term deal with him, or a 3-year deal with him before when you trade for him. And
Benintendi's looking more and more like a Yankee from things you read, but. The Contreras thing would be interesting because the reason he's being traded is because he and the Cubs cannot come to an agreement on contract. Well, it's not like the Astros are the greatest place to go if you're trying to sign a long-term contract. So I certainly wouldn't want Wilson Contreras as a rental, not personally. I would want, and you know, really Castillo, all three of the names that you mentioned, Castillo, Bell, Contreras, those are guys that you can envision being here for the next iteration of keeping the window open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the next line of this keeps the window open for the Astros. That's how you got to approach this. Which one of those guys is most signable? Probably Castillo, but
Castillo's the only one that has a year left after that.
But here's my question is, would you rather have, I think Bell might be easier to get a deal done with Josh Bell than it is Wilson Contreras, potentially.
Yes, more than likely. 712 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Just getting it started here with Lance. If you want to get in, someone, 3780-3776 is the number to hang with us here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Big ups to Dell for hanging while Lance
was. Here the whole time?
He was here every day.
Did he say anything ugly or
bad?
Yeah,
he said a lot of ugly things. Well, especially about
it's
you.
It's funny, I didn't see it on Twitter like most people will tell me when he's really being ugly. Well, and I figured he was ugly.
Well, he was his usual little ball of hate, yes.
Yeah, like he usually is.
Yeah, no.
And Dana was in yesterday?
Dana was here Monday and in studio and hung out with us for an hour, and that was nice. Got an update, and camp starts next week. It was a good week, despite the fact that there has been, you know, All-Star break. There's really very, very little to talk about. But Kyler Murray gave us something to talk about. We'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, TGS.
In the meantime, let's talk about homeowners insurance. How are you saving money these days? One of the best ways you can save money is not through cutting your services. It's through simply shopping your services. And the best way to do that, the biggest ticket item out there for your service, is going to be your homeowners insurance, more than likely. Homeowners insurance is something you have to protect yourself, to protect your biggest investment, that home. And with homeowners insurance, you're going to find with TGS, they aggregate a variety of A-rated insurance companies. And so what happens is when you text the word money to 232323, they'll ask you for your address. You give it. Immediately, they go through a series of shopping with A-rated insurance companies. And within 15 seconds, you're going to get a quote back that is going to be the best price they can find from an A-rated insurance company. Now, compare that to what you're paying now. And in many cases, you're going to find the average savings is $900 annually, but in many cases, it gets into the thousands. So if you've been with the same company for years and years, you're going to save the most. I promise you that much. Text the word money to 232323. It's TGSinsurance.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Chad Pinder just went deep. Did you see that? I mean, you want to talk about the replay of the Astros game last night. Luis Garcia walking a couple of guys.
We can
right
turn
there.
It now.
I mean, it's it's over.
You can turn to ESPN.
I mean, they did get back to 4-3, but
yeah.
But
no, I listened to it driving home from the airport. I was listening to the eighth and ninth inning, and the Astros were. It was even though they were just down, you know, they still had a chance, but the Astros were basically just swinging early, trying to get out of there. Maticevich almost had a shot. It was one pitch and done for Jose Altuve, and then pinch hit, Yuli pinch hit, and of course that was finished. So if you missed it, it was late game last night, very late game. Astros lose against the A's back-to-back games coming off the win streak they had. And so now they've got to put something together. But the real story with the Astros is, will they be buyers of the free agent market? Most people, in the trade deadline, most people believe they will be. There's a really good cheat sheet, I guess, from Jim Bowden, and he takes a look at the names and players at every position, not only the teams who are buyers and sellers, but also names at every single position. And of course, you know, number one is a catcher would be Wilson Contreras. Number one at first base is Josh Bell. Those are the two names that are linked to the Astros. Here's a couple of other names. Hunter Dozier from the Royals. He can play first base, third base, right field, left field. Has power from the right side and could make him an important bench addition. I don't see that as somebody that the Astros would necessarily take a look at. And then if you were just to look at another catcher, I think it's Contreras or bust more than likely. Murphy and Tucker Barnhart from the Tigers are the other two guys, but he hasn't, you know, can't hit. Tucker Barnhart can't hit. We've already got a defensive catcher that can't hit.
Yeah, we just saw Sean Murphy. No, thanks.
No.
So, I think it's, you know what, get one of those guys. Now, they don't go out and get hitting, so this will be interesting to see. But James Click said, hey, Jim Crane told me, go get something. So I'm going to get something.
Well, if he does go get something, you know, you want it to be a guy that stays an Astro. Yeah. Not a rental. You just don't want a rental. Because these are younger guys, and this is what if you make a trade, the only way the Astros, are Bell or Contreras or either one of these guys that you feel like you can get a deal done right now, I don't know. Because I think more than likely the agents want to wait and say, hey, look, if our guy does well in a World Series run, we got more leverage.
That's right.
We're not going to agree to anything right
now. No. If you're smart, if you're the agent, you're smart. No, he's going to free agency. That's all there is to it. But then you're limiting the places that, you know what, and what these teams can get for these guys. I mean, look, for Soto, I understand. You're going to give him the world for Soto. I mean, Astros ain't in that market. There ain't no way. If he ain't taking $440 million, and guess what? Jim Crane, there is zero chance Jim Crane is going to go get Juan Soto. Now, as far as Contreras, and you give up less because you only got a couple months of that guy. Now, Luis Castillo, you got his third year of arbitration, which is nice. So you're going to get an extra year out of him, plus you get that pitching. Do you need another starting pitcher is the question. Lance McCullers coming back. You've got Fromber. You've got McCullers, Fromber. You got Verlander, McCullers, Fromber. And then probably, right now, it's probably Urquidy.
I know I read that. Did I miss Lance's start?
Yeah,
he
threw a couple of innings. It wasn't great. He gave up a run. I forget what the numbers. We could go check out the
numbers. It's going to be just like we talked about. if and when he comes back, it's not going to be until August. I mean, he's not coming back this month. I don't know. I just feel hesitant to say, okay, Lance is coming back, so you don't have to worry about that. I don't know. I feel weird. I think you probably do too. I feel weird just saying, all right, you don't have to worry about starting pitching. Lance is back. Lance is coming back. Yeah, I guess so. I just won't believe it until I see it.
Right.
Like, I was thinking, would you deal Castillo for Castillo?
Garcia, you mean?
I mean, Garcia for Castillo?
That's an interesting question.
Would they do that heads up?
Well, I don't know. Not heads up. They would want more than that.
I wouldn't give them a lot more.
Yeah.
Because you've got club control over Garcia for a long time.
And
Garcia is a proven, he was rookie of their pitcher. Yeah, Castillo right now is better than Garcia, but I wouldn't give up a lot more than Garcia. I'd give you Garcia and I'd give you, what about McCormick or Siri?
Siri. Chaz McCormick right now is out hitting Myers.
You mean our leadoff hitter?
Yeah. Well, that was a mess. He's not.
No, I know.
Dusty, just because.
I don't want to derail you, but I know. When I saw him leading off, I'm like,
that's unfortunate.
Well, it's a play discipline he has.
That's exactly what he doesn't have. But he has actually, he was sent down and came back, dude has really been, he's been a cog in this offense. He's been knocking it around, and especially to right field. That's where he generates his most power, and he's been most productive is when he's going the other way. He did it against the Yankees. He's been doing it. He did it against Seattle and in big situations. And then last night against the A's, 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts. So I you know what, Garcia for Castillo is interesting.
It's interesting, but you know. What is the war? I'm gonna look for the war. I'm not sure. Well, yeah, Luis Garcia has been banged up a little bit the last couple. I mean, Luis Garcia lately has not been great. He's 8-6 this year with a 3.81. His war is not. It's only 0.6.
Listen, look at the way Urquidy has been pitching lately. He's probably moving up that chart, and maybe we'll see.
I think Garcia's fifth right now.
Need a big outing from Javier tonight. You really do. I mean, you need to stop the bleeding against Oakland. This is just ridiculous. You got Seattle coming in tomorrow in a 4-game series. I mean, you've already said goodbye to them, but they're still there. They're still lurking. And they're still in the wild card hunt. So they're gonna give you everything they can. And it's Seattle. The Astros take care of this business.
Any relief pitchers? Do you think the Astros involved with relief pitchers at all?
I don't know. Yeah, you know, that's always something they can just stick one
Scott
in there.
Scott Barlow, Royals.
Well, yeah, whatever. I mean, whatever.
190.
I
mean,
they usually do a pretty good job. I didn't know Montero or Graveman were in the picture last year.
Yeah, they usually don't go after name guys.
Yeah, it's, you know what? They do a nice job. They know their business, and he did a nice job last year. I thought that was a great move, was picking up Graveman and Montero. And look at Montero, what he's doing now for him. I mean, that's
David
totally
Robertson
sweet.
With the Cubs.
Yeah, he's been talked about.
Daniel Bird. I mean, these are guys who can close too, but you're not necessarily looking for that. But they have that ability to be really to battle with. I think to battle with Norris. Norris isn't even a setup. I mean, it's probably more Montero.
Really? Because when Presley was out with the baby, Norris was the closer.
I know.
Yeah. So. He loves
himself.
He still
likes to be a left-hander.
Yeah. He loves himself. Nitties. 713-780-3776. What did you think of the Kyler Murray deal?
Boy, the Kyler Murray deal. Wow. Number one, you knew that. So the quarterback salaries are in a spot right now where nobody, you know, the Ravens don't talk about it publicly, but the Ravens aren't excited about. They weren't excited about having to do a deal that Lamar and Dak Prescott pushed. Not Lamar, but Dak and especially Deshaun pushed numbers very high. Pat Mahomes to an extent too, but his was a really long term deal. It was spread out. There are some agents who didn't think it was a great deal for Pat Mahomes. That deal's so high now. Kirk Cousins kind of started it in that direction. That teams are having to say, "Golly, is our quarterback elite?" Because I can promise you, teams don't use that word like media and fans use the word elite, where they just throw it around. Elite to them means like, okay, we got Aaron Rodgers, we got Tom Brady, we got Pat Mahomes. Who else? Now, who else is elite? Are y'all trying to tell us is elite? They don't use elite they don't use it lightly, especially because elite comes with a number. And Arizona took a long time getting Kyler Murray paid, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that starting off with that they're not sure that a guy who has no playoff wins and tends to crater at the end of the year should be getting $100 million guaranteed. But the more damning information that we find out is that his contract had to state that he has to watch film. They had to put a contract stipulation that Kyler Murray, it was like they wrote a contract. It was like,
well, we've never seen it before.
A 14-year-old whose parents say, now, Kyler, we need you to sign this contract with us. And if you don't watch 4 hours of independent study on film each week, you're going to, I don't know if it's each day or each, I think it's each Tuesday or.
It's every week. Once a week.
Yeah. You just have to do
four. He can split it up for 40 yeah, minutes
now,
a day.
If you don't do 4 hours of independent study, you're going to lose your electronics. We're going to take your phone and your iPad away from you.
Grounded too.
And you're going to be grounded.
Yeah.
So in this particular instance, the wording is that it's worded in the contract. And I'm going to read the contract.
No, we did it.
Did you do it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you couldn't have done the contract.
He can't watch TV. He can't play games.
Yeah, you can't watch film while you're playing video. They say, now, they had to put a stipulation that you couldn't, it doesn't count.
Can you have friends over?
We don't know. No, we need you to concentrate. It doesn't count while you're streaming shows.
Right.
They had to say, you can't watch computer and have it on in the background. They called film, they said you can't have it on in the background while you're playing video games
or surfing the internet
or watching TV. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this was put into a contract. You have to tell Kyler. And this is such a problem that they had to get it put into the contract. You have just told everyone we've made an enormous mistake.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray, we have to tell him that he has to study film. Can you imagine telling a face of the franchise quarterback that they have to watch film? The Texans had that issue with David Carr. David would leave as soon as practice was over and literally speed to get home to play with his kids, which is admirable as a father, not admirable as, you know, as a face of the franchise quarterback and first pick of the draft. Here's Kyler Murray, first pick of the draft, and they've got to create a contract that tells him he can't play video games and watch. Basically, what it tells you is they've had major issues with getting Kyler Murray to do the basic things that a quarterback has to do in the NFL. Something that should be ingrained in them, something they should just want to do, is to be the best they can be. They had to put it into contract form for Kyler Murray. That is unbelievable. And then it leaked. And the question about the leak is, that's strange, because here's what happens. Agents have access to other agents' deal. It's all in a vault, like online. They can read any contract they want. So it's not secret. And so another agent could have gotten that and given it to Ian Rapp. But what you're doing is
We heard that the NFL Network actually has access to every NFL Network has access. So Ian Rapoport could have just gone and found it himself.
That's what I was saying.
It didn't have to be an agent.
If an agent has it, then Ian Rapoport could have had it. Yes. But is that what Ian did? Did Ian say per a report or per sources?
I think he just grabbed it directly.
Well, what he's done. This is what doesn't.
He had
make
the exact contract
word. I'm gonna text Ian. This doesn't make sense to me, and I'll tell you why. You're right. He had the exact contract. He was either given to him, or he went into the agent vault and pulled it himself, which would be considered a bit of a no-no. This is a little strange to me, because what he's doing is burning Eric Burkhart and now Clutch Sports. Eric Burkhart left SSG, and he's part of Clutch Sports now, which is, you know, LeBron's group, Rich Paul and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Eric Burkhart is. So now, if you're Ian Rapoport, you just embarrassed Kyler Murray. So you've pissed off potentially Eric Burkhart and Clutch Sports, Rich Paul and all those guys. But you also may have pissed off Eric Burkhart's other client, Cliff Kingsbury, who is the head coach of Arizona. Now, what it feels like, it also feels like it could be Steve Keim saying, you know, and just in theory, like, boy, this Kyler Murray, we want to let our fans know and people know the reason this took so long is because we got to deal with this, that this guy doesn't even get ready, doesn't even take film watching seriously. It could have been the Cardinals basically as an FU to Kyler Murray and, by the way, to Eric Burkhart, the agent, and say, we want to make sure you guys know that this is what we're dealing with right now. We want to make sure everyone knows that. But in doing that, you really, you either lit a fire under Kyler Murray, you pissed him off. Either way, you're on the hook for $100 million guaranteed. And you had to put a clause in there that I've only seen for like a 13 or 14 year old.
Yeah, never seen it before. Ever.
And 731. His dad, by the way, is known in football circles as a massive helicopter dad. You remember Kyle
Murray? Oh, yeah.
Kevin. Kevin Murray. Kevin Murray. A great quarterback at
A&M.
You probably heard about that.
I know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've heard. I've heard, too.
Well, oh, yeah. He was at A&M.
Yeah, he was at A&M. I've heard. Time to talk right now about cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Man, it is so hot out there. So it was hot out there yesterday, and we had a couple of guys out, and we played some golf yesterday. But it was just, you know, I was going along and drinking water for the front nine, and I said, what the heck am I doing? I'm not getting refreshed at all here. So what did I have to do? We had to go at the turn and grab a bunch of Coors Lights, and then it made the day so much more enjoyable. It just makes everything so much more enjoyable. Going back out there today, and I got to tell you, we're bringing out some guys, some college buddies, and they're going to drink cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's all they want. It's all everybody wants. If you're looking for the world's most refreshing beer, all you got to do is go to those Blue Mountains. You know it's cold when you see them Blue Mountains, and that's a happy, happy time for me. Look, you're looking for the best. You're looking for the most refreshing beer. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Keep Texas chill.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 735-713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here with us. 713-780-3776 to hang with us. We're going to have Carl Ravitch going to join us here.
Yeah, from a little ESPN. Bit later. Yeah. Shout out to Brian McDonald
who yeah,
put
Brian.
That together. So 845.
Yesterday he got us Mark Ross, yeah. And we talked some XFL football with him and some NFL football with him. That was great. And today he's got us Carl Ravitch, which is awesome. That'll be at 8:45, an hour and 10 minutes from now. Big baseball guy, so we'll talk to him about what's going on major league-wise. What's going on with our team losing to the A's all the time? How stupid is this? It's just ridiculous. So the Astros, for those of you who didn't see, they lost again last night. A Chad Pinder grand slam in the third inning. The Astros fought back. Kyle Tucker homered. They got a Yordan with another double that scored a run. Bregman with an infield single that scored a run. So the Astros fought back, scratched back to 4-3, but they ended up losing 5-3. And it's just simply amazing. I mean, it's a day in, day out. Altuve didn't play. Yuli didn't play. It's just amazing. This is a minor league team that you're playing here, these A's, and for whatever reason. Listen, after you get the doubleheader with 75,000 people at Minute Maid for that one day, 75,000.
So how did that work? They had to get people in and out
Well, and luckily they – so
– You know, there's so few that become scheduled in advance like this, but –
it was scheduled because of the lockout.
That's what I mean. But you it was scheduled in advance. You knew there was going to be a doubleheader.
Yeah, you knew there'd be a doubleheader. So they started at noon. They played the game. They tied it. The Yankees tied it in the ninth. If it had gone extra innings, it would have put the second game in jeopardy because they have to clear everybody out,
right?
Restock the concessions, do all the stuff, and then get everybody back. Dude, we went to the second game. It was like a World Series game. The line outside, the packed crowd, because, you know, you had a limited amount of time to get everybody in the building. It was I hadn't seen lines like this since the World Series. It's unbelievable how crowded it was and how it's 75,000 people. So you had 75,000 people in one day at Minute Maid. Seattle thought it was the World Series this past weekend. So they had.
Well, how'd they do?
They got swept in the World Series. It was like 05 for us. So they, slapped him around. But it was a full house. It was, except for the fact that Jose Altuve kept homering to lead off the game and take the crowd out of it immediately.
Yeah. They were probably yelling cheater at him. That's why.
Well, listen, don't do that. I think.
By the way, the A's fans were booing him. Listening on the radio, He got up in the ninth inning, and they're like booing vociferous. And there was nobody at the game
yesterday.
That's
because John Boy put it all on and he made him the face of it.
Even the A's fans, all 300 of them at the game were booing yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's what they do. It's Jose Altuve. So after going to the World Series in Seattle, having the 75,000 in your park, you go there and there's 20 people in the stands. I can understand where you'd lose your focus. You would lose your intensity. You would lose. It's not a major league atmosphere. It's like, what the hell? When we went from the World Series in Seattle to this, I mean, you want to talk about a come down. Now, I'm a little worried. Seattle's coming here tomorrow. And, you know, we gotta pick it back up with the crowd now. I mean, because the intensity, because you want to put these people away.
Yeah.
You don't want them believing anything. And they were playing great. Other than the Astros, this is the best team. If they didn't have to play the Astros, they'd be the best team in baseball.
You got to smack them.
You got to slap Brown.
You got to smack them. And so it starts with Christian Javier tonight, and then you got to keep your eye on the trade deadline and see what the Astros do, because this feels like the most aggressive. It feels like the most aggressive, like the Astros are true prowlers on the perimeter waiting to add a player. Like, this feels the most aggressive that we've seen the Astros in the trade market. You know, honestly, the Zach Greinke deal, that kind of came out of nowhere. I remember I was on vacation for that one, and we got the news, and I was so excited about that. It didn't live up to all the hype for me personally, but I remember when they went and got Zach Greinke, and the Astros, that was kind of a shock. Greinke had not been mentioned with the Houston Astros at that point. Gerrit Cole, that happened, you know, before the season started. Graveman, most of the other deals have been big deal. Maton, Graveman, stuff like that. This does feel like, though, that the Astros feel like one of the real favorites to land Contreras or Bell or Castillo.
Right.
So I would say in order, it would be, you know, there's a belief that whoever gets Bell, you're renting him. But I think anyone that trades for him is going to be a team that feels like they have the means to potentially sign Josh Bell or Wilson Contreras. But we'll see. We'll see what the price tag looks like for these guys now. I have no idea, but I just know this. If you had a guy like Wilson Contreras, what you're doing is you just made your lineup much more potent. And if you're able to sign him to a long-term deal, you are now in good shape for five more years moving forward because of Yordan and Kyle Tucker and potentially Bregman. You know, you have to kind of see with Bregman. But you see, you know, you start to see, okay, that's a bat that will replace Michael Brantley, for example, if you just want to go bat for bat. And Jake Myers may end up being a bat that ends up being a crucial, you know, one of the top six bats. It has to be top seven bats, but might end up being top six bats in the Astros lineup at some point. So, big opportunity here at the trade deadline for the Astros, and it's the most aggressive for name brand players that we've seen them in a while before the trade deadline.
No,
at least the perception of it.
And I'm hoping that you know, Luno was hesitant to pull the trigger. I'm hoping Click isn't nearly as hesitant to pull the trigger on a big deal like this. It'll be interesting to see, though. It'll be interesting to see what Click is able to do, and if what he gives up minor league wise. Are you ready to give up Hunter Brown if need be?
See, only if you sign. That's what I'm saying. I can't. This can't be a rental situation where you give away Hunter Brown. It depleted you quickly. With the Randy Johnson deal, it started to get, you know, granted that was 24 years ago, but we saw it and lived through it. It really does damage when you are not, when you start giving away players for rentals, it can do some damage pretty quickly. You need to have some players who stick around. So, no, I'm not a huge fan of giving away Hunter Brown unless the Astros really feel confident that they'll sign a player. And for Wilson Contreras, it has to be a reasonable contract. Well, when I say reasonable, I mean anything that you do is going to have an impact on Kyle Tucker and Yordan. So you have to make sure that it's not a deal that prevents you from signing those other guys.
You know who looks like it's scary? It would be scary to trade right now is Chainer Diaz, the guy you got in the Miles Straw, the catcher you got in the Miles Straw deal. He might be the catcher of the future.
Is that how his name's pronounced?
It's Y-A-I, but it's Chainer.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, for whatever reason. I like to call him Yainer, but but other people, announcers, call him Chainer for whatever reason. I like to mispronounce names on purpose, but because Mama called him Chainer, I'm going to call him Chainer. So 743 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance is back, 713-780-3776. Let's talk a little Texans on the other side as they are gathering at over on Kirby as we speak and getting out there about ready to get
today.
A big media event today.
We're kicking it off. There's rumors that we'll be able to watch some of the practices potentially.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, with Bill gone, he's been gone. He was gone for a full year now. But we'll see what Nick Caserio does. It hasn't even really been worth it when you have to sit in one little area and, like, don't move out of this box. And then they go practice a mile away and you couldn't see him. Like, what am I doing out here other than sweating?
Oh, that's all I'm doing. All right, 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. On the way in, I was here listening to you talk about QC Kinetics, and now you can talk about it again.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. So we got a hold of them, and my wife is going to meet with their doctors. And what we're doing is we're going to take a look and see exactly what's going on. We know that through an MRI, she had kind of a grade 4 cartilage loss in her right knee, a bone-on-bone situation. And for marathon runners or for active people, it's great. And she's still very active, man, loves to hike, and she does the hardcore hiking. But she has not run since the Boston Marathon other than she was able to get a 5.5-mile run in. And that was it. And she may end up missing the Berlin Marathon this fall because she just isn't able to train. So it's really cutting into something she loves. And so we reached out to the experts at QC Kinetics. And this is going to be big because this is an opportunity to take growth, you know, to take growth elements in her body and really hyper-concentrate it and put it back into the joints that are having issues. They also have even stronger methodologies that they use. They're all natural biological therapies. But what it does is it takes chronic pain in the shoulder, the back, the knee, areas like that, you know, that you're having problems with chronic pain, and it rebuilds tissue, regenerates and restores tissue. Well, that helps with mobility, and it also helps with the chronic pain. So QC Kinetics, can't wait for my wife to meet with them because this could be a game changer in a positive direction. The same thing is true for you. 713-913-5285. Don't live with that pain. Get it corrected with QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 748. John and Lance. And the Texans are reporting. Big media event today, as a matter of fact. And everybody's going to be going over there and hanging with all the media people from the Texans. I'm more excited about this season than I have been.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, David Culley was just such a hire that you were like, what? Who?
Culley was never heard honestly. Of- you almost hate saying it because you knew he was a patsy for the team, but it was almost like Culley was one of the reasons you knew it was like, okay, well, this isn't even a real rebuild right now. They're plugging this guy in who was a puppet. Like, he's not even allowed to. Nick Caserio's all over the place. Nick Caserio's on the field coaching guys. It's weird being at a practice watching Nick Caserio get in there with position groups. And I have heard from people that he did that in New England too. And Bill Belichick's like, yeah, you're a front office guy. You're not on the field guy.
So will he be on the field with Lovie?
I don't know. That's interesting. I don't think Lovie. I think he's got. I'm not sure Lovie, because Lovie has some juice. I'm not sure that's going to happen as much. I think Nick will stand there in the field and may even stand by position groups. I don't think that changes. I mean, he's the GM. And it's not like he was hands-on coaching. I don't want to make it sound like that. But he was a lot tighter to the action than Rick Smith ever was. Rick Smith stayed at a distance, which is, I think, fairly normal. I mean, I've been at Colts camps for 3 years with Ballard, and I didn't stand right next to him all the time. But, you know, he's not in on you let the coaches coach. And Nick gets in there a little closer than I think any GM probably has ever been. And
you want to be and is he going to be on the headsets? Is that, you know?
No, I don't think that happens.
Is Jack going to be on the sideline?
Well, he's a rah-rah guy now, so he might. He might. He was there while Lovey was there, but that's a good question, too.
Lovey might say, put the kibosh on that, too.
I know about this guy. I don't want him down here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those are curious. Are those questions we should ask at the media event?
Yeah.
Hello, Omar, who's their media relations director. Quick question. Is Jack allowed on the sidelines this year? That's not. We were going to talk about like when you can come do interviews and the timing of after practice. Another question. Is Nick going to be allowed to be in there with position groups, or is Lovey basically saying no? Like, can Lovey veto all this stuff? Yeah, that's not what this is. You guys need to know we're going to have a 10-minute cooling off period before you get interviews. I got a question about Jack. Is he falling out at all with the McNairs? Like, is there a falling out at all? Okay. Can y'all do the Topgolf thing? Just hit the and there's some buffalo wings over there.
Okay. Another question for you.
By the way, I have heard that, by the way. The Jack may be not as tight with the McNairs as he once was.
That's sweet. Okay, I got a question for you. I got another question for you. Is there any what if the Texans actually traded for Jimmy Garoppolo? How would that would destroy all that we have thought this offseason?
If they actually traded for him, what they're doing is it could be something as simple as you get. So I went through the scenario one other time. This is what you could technically do. So I write a column every year. I hate having to do this, but because it's a lot of work, and it's like a brain buster every year. But it's the compensatory pick column that I write, projecting compensatory picks for every team, and it's really, really up my knowledge of the compensatory pick game. So here's the first thing you have to know: to get a compensatory pick, compensatory picks are given for when you lose a certain amount of free agents, and it depends on how much playing time they get. But most importantly, how much they sign for with another team.
Yeah.
But let's say you lose seven. You lose seven players as free agents, but then you sign five. So those five are going to cancel out those seven in different, in different areas, depending on how much you sign. Like one of your top signed guys could cancel out your top signed guy you lost. So that means you don't get a third round contract for them. So it's basically you have to lose more than you sign to even have a chance. No matter who, you may lose the best player in football, but if you sign more free agents and you lose, you don't get a compensatory pick back. So teams are very cognizant of that. What I've seen happen a couple times is interesting, where teams have made trades at the trade deadline for a guy, let's say for a 6th round pick, and then they let him walk after the year's over, and they end up getting a 6th round pick back. In other words, it was a rental. They ended up getting him for free. Jimmy Garoppolo could be interesting because you could potentially give up I don't think a fifth. I mean, let's say you gave up a fourth for Jimmy Garoppolo. You could end up getting a third back for Jimmy Garoppolo. If you play the free agent game right and you don't sign anybody to high-dollar contracts, which I don't think the Texans will, and you lose more than you gain, and Jimmy Garoppolo goes and signs a starting contract for $26 million a year, $27 million a year with the team, $25 million a year. John, they would get a third rounder back. They would pay a fourth to get a third rounder back.
Yeah, but they also, Jimmy Garoppolo's base salary is $24 million, and they have $4 million in cap space.
No, they'd have to have, number one, they'd have to make a move. They'd probably have to trade a player or two players.
Yeah.
And they would have to, or restructure a contract for the Texans. And they would have to have the 49ers pick up a tremendous amount of it.
Yes.
So I don't think it's going to happen. And they'd have to stunt the growth of Davis Mills. Like, you're bringing
That's the key. That's the key to the whole thing. And I pose the question, Kyle Allen signed here. And when Kevin Hogan is just, he would have signed anywhere. He didn't care. Kevin Hogan. But Kyle Allen signs here. Does Nick Caserio tell him, listen, this is not going to be a competition. Just so you know, I want you to help Davis Mills as much as possible. I want you to be ready in case Davis
Kyle
Mills.
Kyle Allen, yeah, I think he knows. He and his agent.
So it's from the get-go.
But Jimmy this G is different, though.
No. Although
he's got a shoulder, like, he's now delayed.
He passed his physical. So,
but that doesn't
the
necessarily
injury
mean
clause
he's
does
ready.
Not kick in for him. No, yeah. No, it doesn't mean he's ready. Doesn't mean he's ready. Necessarily, but why bring in Jimmy? It doesn't.
Well,
make
the
any
reason
sense.
You bring him in is because you could one of the reasons you could bring him in is because only if you could afford it, which you can't afford it now. Not many teams can. But if you could afford it, because you know that you already look at your roster and say, this is what we're projecting in terms of free agents, and we're going to give a fourth-round pick for him, and we're going to get a third-rounder back. But if you think about it, your third-round picks, so compensatory picks, it's based on the contracts, right, that are signed. The highest you get, it's at the end of the third round. So you're talking about picks that are around 100, somewhere like that. So you trade your fourth-round pick. Let's say you're not that great. Hey, what are you gaining? You're gaining 8 spots?
Yeah, right.
Are you gaining 12, maybe 12 spots? What? 14 spots at the most?
At the most.
Is that worth stunning the growth of your quarterback? No.
No.
Not to me.
But it would be amazing. I mean, there's still that smoke that's out there about Jimmy Garoppolo, which is amazing
to
me.
Yes, because, but you know, John, do you believe it? Here's why I don't believe it.
Not a minute.
I don't believe it because everyone's trying to, because no one has believed that the Texans, from the draft, I had to deal with it in the draft. People don't believe that the Texans, guys, the Texans are riding with Davis Mills. They think they got a shot. They drafted him because they think, hey, this may be a little lottery scratch-off. So let's take a shot with him. Why after the first year when he had some not-so-good times and some pretty good times, why would they not want to see what he has now?
It was a tale of two seasons for Davis Mills. The end of his season was really, really good.
Yeah, it was. So there's no way. I think national people just cannot believe. They just cannot believe that the Texans are potentially in on Davis Mills. They just can't believe it. Like, but why wouldn't you want to have Jimmy Garoppolo? For what? Look how expensive that is. I get a discounted version of that for next to nothing. Why would I? He's a game manager. That's what Jimmy Garoppolo is. Why do I want Jimmy Garoppolo? What if I trade for him and he actually plays decent? Now you got to give him a Kyler Murray contract. I don't want to do that.
No.
Who wants to do that?
No.
That's not where the Texans are.
I question where Jimmy Garoppolo, after this season, he becomes an unrestricted free agent. Where does Jimmy Garoppolo end up? I mean, Garoppolo.
Seattle? I mean, just off the top of my head, teams that may need quarterback.
Unless Seattle grabs, Seattle's going to be terrible and they grab a quarterback in the first round.
It's Jimmy Garoppolo. You throw him back basically into next year's draft class. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Jimmy's in next year's draft class. So you've got, you know, whoever's out in the draft, and you got Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, he's not a draftable. It's in consideration for teams. Well, who are those considerations? Okay, Washington is going to be a team unless
Atlanta.
Carson Wentz does anything. Atlanta, well, they just drafted Desmond Ridder. So probably not, but he was a third-round pick.
Yeah.
No different than Davis Mills. But I think they'll give Desmond Ridder a go. Tennessee Titans will give Malik Willis a go. I think the teams you could be looking at are maybe even – Minnesota?
The Saints?
Saints, yep. Saints, Minnesota, possibly Green Bay? I doubt it. Well, Jordan Love's contract's going to be expiring. Well, picking up a fifth-year option on him.
That first-rounder's never going to get on the field for them? Really? Boy, what a bleep-up.
Yeah, you didn't know Aaron was going to turn into back-to-back MVPs. You kind of lit a fire under him, and so what are you going to do now? But Washington, maybe the Giants. There's some teams. I mean,
Jimmy Garoppolo needs a great defense, which is why the Saints make the most sense.
Well, the one that makes the most sense are the Saints, because the Saints are ready to win now, and at least in that division. You know, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo also with in Tampa. With Tom Brady leaving, it could be a move. So yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo will have some value potentially this year. You know, the Saints, I think the Saints would be better off with Garoppolo than Jameis, because Jameis just turns it over too much.
Yeah.
Just way too much. But, you know, he looked okay under Sean Payton in the very limited action Jameis had before he got hurt. So we'll see. But for the Texans, I think the national media just can't get their head around the fact that the Texans want to see Davis Mills. And this is the perfect time. There's no pressure on the team. No one's expecting anything. This is like you couldn't have it more perfect. This is, hey, George Springer, get out there and go play. The Astros suck. Go play every day. Do what you do.
Well,
go figure it out. Go learn.
They didn't, though. They kept him down there.
Yeah, I get it. But what I'm saying is there was no pressure on them. Yeah. They waited.
What that's they did was they brought up Jose Altuve. Hey, everybody, look at the little fellow we brought
up. Because they didn't know.
Yeah.
They didn't know Altuve was Altuve. They knew Springer. They were like, no, we're going to service time this guy.
Yeah, right.
We're going to wait here. It's the opposite. You don't have time to service time anybody. You got to find out what quarterbacks can do. Because once they're up, you got a new contract you got to give them.
All right, 713-780-3776. You want to talk Texans or Astros or whatever you want to talk about.
After 4 years, not five.
Yep. Yeah, no, right. He's up after. He's only got 3 years left on this deal. Time to talk about Craig DeCerf right now, though.
Craig DeCerf, guy that I love dealing with on a regular basis. Sometimes he sends me direct messages through Instagram. He's a big friend of Lee Labrada's. You know, Craig used to be a bodybuilder. He used to be a bodybuilder, and he's got that same competitive mentality when it comes to selling cars. The difference is it doesn't really show when you go out there to Angleton on his lot or when he used to be here, David Taylor, years ago, because that's not what they do. What he wants is he wants a car dealership just like his family would go to, his wife, my wife, his kids, my kids, your wife. He wants it to be, or your husband, he wants it to be exactly the same way where it's a fun experience. You go in, you check out these cool cars, you find something you love. If you're just window browsing or, you know, just shopping, that's fine. If you are serious about buying a car, they'll answer all the questions. They give you the top value for your trade-in value. And they've got some amazing 0% finance options on certain SUVs and then a 2.49% finance options on some of your favorite trucks in stock right now. I want you just to go online at LandZCars.com, see all the vehicles they have in stock, and take a look at what you're looking for in terms of your next vehicle. And I promise you, you're going to love the customer experience, the prices, and the selection at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LandZCars.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple of knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.